miserably hot here. Not the case, I don't think, in California. Let's find out. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. What's the weather like?
Oh, man, you got to put me on the spot. Yeah, I think I just looked. It's 68 degrees with a high of 79 today.
So, you son of a gun.
Eat your heart out, Louisiana.
Yeah, good for you. Well, you enjoy. Well, you've been out for practice, so you deserve it. Tell me, man, I guess injuries yesterday. I hate to hear about injuries piling up already, but it sure seems like it. It seems like going into the season, you thought, you know what, maybe we got a chance if we stay healthy. But now, I don't know. What's going on with Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny because I think everyone, when you're talking about the Saints, you get kind of hyper-focused on the Saints, and it's like, man, we're all these injuries are so mm-hmm. unfortunate. Why are we the only team that gets these injuries? And the reality is, if you go around to pretty much any training camp, every team is dealing with injuries in their own way. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the Falcons. They're down, you know, their star edge rusher they drafted last year. You know, the Panthers lost their star edge rusher to an ACL. The Bucs are trying to figure out how to play without Mecca Ibuka, their top wide receiver. So it happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Alvin Kamara, ESPN's Adam Schefter just reported that it's a sprained MCL, so he'll probably be out a month. That doesn't necessarily mean he'll miss time in the regular season. You're kind of right on that fringe where, mm-hmm. you know, September 13th is going to come up quickly. But, you know, if you're the Saints and Alvin, you're trying to find a way where you can get him out there. He kind of took a hit to the knee. I think he got a tight end kind of blocked into him. I wasn't watching the offense yesterday, so I didn't see it happen. But, you know, he left early. We also saw Quincy Riley leave early with a groin injury. That'll be one to watch because he's obviously a very important player. Probably shut him down for a couple weeks here as well just to play it safe. But, yeah, I mean, it's really just it's opportunities for other guys to get on the field. The good news for the running back position in particular is Devin Neal and Kendre Miller, both guys who have missed, you know, a week plus of practice with Devin was dealing with a hamstring injury and Kendre was dealing with a back injury. Both of those guys were back at practice yesterday for the first time. They looked like full participants. They got through without issue. So, you know, it stinks to be without Alvin for a period of time. But the good news is he knows the offense. He was here last year. It just means, hey, you're going to have more time to get Travis Achane up to speed to incorporate Devin and Kendre and kind of get that situation set up behind them. So, you know, they have the bodies. I don't think you were going to try to get Alvin a ton of work in the preseason anyway. Mm-hmm. So it'll just be something we watch.
So yesterday was the Cowboys. Today is the Rams, right?
Tomorrow is the Rams.
Tomorrow's the Rams.
They had the Cowboys. Yeah, they had the Cowboys on Tuesday. A lot of fights. It was kind of feisty. I imagine that's something they'll be talking about not doing again against the Rams. That'll be on Thursday. So they're kind of getting a recovery day in between. We will be out there, but it's kind of just like a kind of walkthrough style practice. But yeah, we'll be back out there again on Thursday. Another walkthrough day on Friday, and then the preseason game against the Rams on Saturday.
Tell me about Chris Olave. I'm getting text about him going in the injury tent.
I think he left. I think it was just kind of a heat-related thing. He came right back. It wasn't anything remarkable. The injuries were basically just Alvin and Quincy Riley. Ronnie Bell left early as well, but I think his was heat-related as well,
so,
which is funny because it's not hot.
You said you watched the defense or the offense?
I watched the defense yesterday. It's kind of been my plan for these joint practices. Is against the Jags, I focus on the offense. Against the Cowboys, I focus on the defense, and I think I'll probably be back over on the offensive side on Thursday.
What did you see yesterday from the defense?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you didn't have either, you know, of your top two nose tackles, Devon Gotcha and Kristen Miller. Both guys missed the practice. Kristen, the second-round pick out of Georgia, came out. In the preseason opener, he's dealing with a minor shoulder injury. But I thought they got decent pressure with all things considered, right? The Cowboys really focused on Chase Young, and I think that's going to be something we see, is Chase Young is now of that level that teams are going to go into their week saying, we have to take Chase Young away, and whatever happens, happens, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to send chips at him. You're going to see tight ends on his side. You know, he's going to have to kind of navigate that. And what that means is Carl Granderson, whoever's on the other side, Tyree Wilson, Cam Jordan, whatever, they're going to have to win their one-on-one matchups. And that is what we saw yesterday. I thought yesterday was Carl Granderson's best practice. They were wearing weird jerseys. That's a whole subplot. Carl Granderson was actually wearing Bub Means' 16 jersey, which mm-hmm. is kind of funny to see. But he was in the backfield constantly. I thought Vernon Broughton also had a really strong day rushing the passer. And, you know, that's what you want to see. The Cowboys have a really good offense, right? Like CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens are elite wide receivers. I thought Kool-Aid held up well. On the opposite side, it was kind of hit or miss. George Pickens had a couple big plays downfield. But CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he had a couple perceptions underneath, but otherwise he was kind of shut down. And we saw the Saints defense. Pete Werner said this after the practice. Like they went into the day saying, hey, we want to be physical. We want to finish off plays. I think that's part of the reason there were so many kind of dust-ups, because on both sides of the ball, the defenses were trying to be physical, and the mm-hmm. offenses kind of took exception to that a little bit. But I was a fan of what I saw. I mean, you're not going to shut down that Cowboys offense, but I think the Saints won enough on the defensive side of the ball that I feel pretty good about it.
Was one team chippier than the other?
I think they were both given it. I mean, the Saints are definitely not without fault in this conversation. I think in both instances, it was the defenses kind of getting after it, and the offenses being like, you know, a little frustrated. And it's one of those situations where I think you're almost better off tackling than what was happening in that practice, mm-hmm. because you have guys catching the ball, maybe not being geared up to take a hit, but then, you know, on one play I watched, just in the Cowboys tight end, I want to say it was Brevin Spanford, right? He catches the ball in the red zone. He tries to turn up and get into the end zone, and Justin Reed kind of lowers his shoulder and pops him, right? And then he kind of keeps going because you're not allowed to tackle him. And then Martin Emerson Jr. comes up and pops him again. And it's like the first hit, he was like, all right, fine. The second hit, he kind of took exception to. But, I mean, I think that was happening on both sides of the ball. So
I think you want a little bit of that, though, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a limit, right? There's a point where you want the physicality and you want the intensity, but then there's a point where it's taken away from the practice. I mean, on the offensive side, I mean, I could see the fights going on. I couldn't see what caused them, but I mean, it was worse on the Saints offensive side. Like I saw a play where Eric McCoy threw a guy's helmet. Mm-hmm. He had his helmet ripped off. And another play, I saw one play where Brock Rechsteiner, I think it was Jalen Thompson, probably didn't know exactly who he was messing with, in the sense that he was like, it's just a wide receiver. I mean, I could beat him in a fight. And then it's like, actually, he's like the son of WWE superstar Scott Steiner, and he's going to throw you down with some kind of crazy suplex. And that's what happened. Mm. He's probably watching that clip afterward being like, what the heck? But so, I mean, I think it was equal opportunity fisticuffs, if that makes sense.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about the offense when we come back. Jeff Nowak, our guest, WWL Saints sideline reporter, live from California, 941 Traffic Now, WWL. 9:46, 14 till 10, back with Jeff Nowak, live in California. Saints and Oxnard, California. They'll take, not a rest day today, a walkthrough day today, recovery day, and then they'll practice against the Rams tomorrow in advance of the game against the Rams on Saturday, right? Then we play the Cowboys the following week. Got that right? You got me muted, Jeff? Jeff, you got me on mute?
Sure did.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, you got it correct. It's
okay.
The Rams on Saturday, and then the Cowboys the following Friday.
Because it got a little confusing with the practices and the games and all that stuff. All right, so let's talk about Chris Olave. What kind of day did he have yesterday, and Tyler Shuck?
Yeah, you know, I watched the defense, right. So I'm kind of learning it through either clips or just conversations. I talked to Deuce and Haas about it, what they saw. And, you know, it was just another day where Chris and Tyler's connection just continues to improve. And we've seen that, you know, I thought Chris got off to kind of a slower start. That might be in part due to the fact that he didn't really participate in team drills during OTAs and minicamp, and he was kind of holding in for the first couple days of camp. So I think maybe that connection took a little bit to kind of get rolling. But the last few days, it's been really impressive. I think he had, you know, he was targeted 10 or 11 times. He had 9 catches, give or take one, where, you know, the ball may have squirted out. You know, I think it's going to continue to be a situation where, you know, he's going to be elite over the middle of the field. I don't know if he's going to be that kind of field stretching option for you, but he can attack downfield. But when Chris is at his best, you know, he's just separating from defensive backs over the middle of the field, giving you an easy target and having the opportunity to kind of catch and run and most importantly, kind of protect himself. You don't want this guy taking big hits. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure he's available. He can be that kind of consistent 100 catch, 12 to 1500 yard guy. You know, he's never going to be the one you throw to on like an end zone fade. But that was kind of the idea. You're going out and getting these bigger bodied receivers, even Jordan Tyson, who's obviously on the mend right now. You know, you're talking about 6'1". He can be a jump ball guy. Devon Vele can be a jump ball guy. Bryce Lance is 6'3". He can be a jump ball guy. So, You know, I think it's an interestingly built offense, and I think it really does work for Chris Olave's skill set. And I'm eager to see it when we get all the pieces in the mix. Now it's kind of going to, I think you're going to lean more heavily toward the 12 personnel, like two tight ends or two running backs even on the field at the same time, and probably lean more into the two wide receiver sets with Olave and Vele until you can get Tyson back. But no, I think Chris has done everything you'd hoped he would. You give him that big contract, and he looks like a star out there. Like the Cowboys DBs, they couldn't do anything with him.
Did the Saints work out a couple of receivers or not?
I don't believe so, unless I missed that. Talked to Kellen yesterday, and he kind of said, hey, we don't necessarily feel the need to go out and rebuild our wide receiver room because one guy got hurt. It's just going to be an opportunity for guys like Bub Means, guys like Kevin Austin. Like, I'm sure they will work out receivers if they haven't already. That's just what they do. I think they always want to be prepared for the eventuality that they do have to go sign somebody. But I don't think Jordan's injury is one where they're gonna feel like, oh, we got to make a trade, we got to build this room. You're gonna see what other guys can offer. The young players have been, performing well. I think Berrion Brown is probably a little ahead of Bryce Lance in terms of, you know, he played in the SEC and he understands what NFL speed looks like a little bit better. His routes are maybe a little crisper. But Bryce Lance as well, you know, he's got that kind of elite build for a wide receiver, and he can be useful in a lot of ways. And I think it's going to be on the Saints to, especially early on, to find ways to incorporate those young guys in where they're ready to participate and maybe protect them from situations where they might not be ready, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Could you get a feel for how the Saints stopped the run against the Cowboys?
You know, these practices are always tough because, you know, I can't necessarily see what's going on in the middle of the pile. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see a running back pop out and it's like, hey, well, he probably would have been tackled, but you don't know. So it's always tough to gauge the tackle breaking running backs, right? Like kind of the bigger bodied running backs who, you know, you can throw an arm at him, but he's going to run through it. It's always tough to tell. You kind of have to just go by who was in position to make a tackle and assume it would have been made. I thought early in the practice, the Saints got gashed a little bit. You know, Javonte Williams broke out for a big run early on, and I felt like that's when you really saw the physicality ramp up. And that it was after that point that you saw maybe some late hits and guys getting tackled to the ground where you're not supposed to get tackled to the ground. But that is an area that I have a little bit of concern for this team because they didn't really add to it. They didn't really build it. Mm-hmm. You know, you drafted Christian Miller. And, you know, Brian Brzee is down and Vernon Broughton is probably a little bit better from a run stuffing perspective. Brian has always been kind of that like elite kind of pass rush interior lineman. But from what I've seen so far, I'm not super concerned about it. I just think it's going to be probably their weaker point of the defense is, you know, that interior run. I think they have more athleticism on the edges than they have in the past. So I'm not as concerned about the backs getting to the edges. Mm-hmm. But I am a little concerned if teams are going to be able to go out there and average 4 yards a carry between the tackles, because it's really tough to win if you're allowing, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards on first down, because it just puts everything else out of whack. The offense can run whatever they want if they're in 2nd and 5, 2nd and 4. So you really need to see this team kind of stand up on early downs.
Yeah, that's what I asked. There's not more frustrating than that as a fan. Tell me about kicking. What did you see?
Yeah, kicking was on the opposite field, so I was kind of limited in what I could see, but both guys went 4 or 5. Tanner Brown missed from 39. Charlie Smith missed from 45, both to the right. So that's kind of where we've been at. Both guys are kind of hovering around 80%. My concern with Tanner is that, you know, he's missed fewer times. His percentage is higher on the whole. But, you know, 3 of his misses have been inside of 40. One is a PAT. Another was a doinked-in PAT, so that could have been a miss if he got unlucky. And then 2 misses from 39. Charlie has missed 10 kicks total, which is way too many. Mm-hmm. But I think 5 of them have been from 50-plus, right? So you kind of have to weigh that. Like, I need Tanner to be more consistent inside of 40. Like, if he could just clean that up, he wins his kicking job. But those are the misses that concern me, because those have to be 100% kicks. You can't be settling for a 35-yard kick and not getting 3 points.
Yep.
So we'll see how that develops, but it's been a little frustrating on that front.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too, Tommy. Thanks.
Out in California, Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. Take a break. Find out what Newell's got planned when we come back on WWL.